Hallelujah. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, you ready? You're looking at it? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Stop there. The Goodspeed translation, I don't know if you ever heard of Goodspeed. He's apparently a good man and he knew Greek, so he translated a New Testament. I like it. Listen to this. Use every kind of prayer and entreaty. And at every opportunity, pray in the Spirit. Be on the alert about it. Devote yourselves constantly to prayer for all of God's people. So, I was praying about these things. And the Lord said, things concerning prayer. So that's what we're going to just look at, things concerning prayer. And so that's where we go. Throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul, that's who wrote Ephesians. He wrote it to the church there at Ephesus. And this is the last chapter of what he wrote. So this is all he wanted them ever to know, right? Well, from Paul, yes. And he wanted them to know that they must be engaged in every kind of prayer. Not just lay me down to sleep, my soul to keep. Bless me and us four no more, you know. There's other prayers than that, by the way. There's other prayers than... Have you had that kind of prayer? Nah, none of you guys. Quickened by the Holy Ghost, full of power. But he's telling them in his writings to Ephesus, look, use every kind of prayer. Entreaty. And then he says something that, you know, a lot of translations miss this, but I like how Mr. Goodspeed puts it. At every opportunity, pray in the Spirit. Now we look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and we see what Paul means when he writes that. He's saying, when I pray in the Spirit, he's talking about praying in a heavenly language. He's talking about praying in tongues. Unknown language. The language of communication with God that has no earthly barrier by intellect or mental power or by understanding. It is a connection to God that is void of all your fleshly gatherings in life. It even transcends what your mama told you. Which I'm sure she told you a lot of things. And probably the reason you're in trouble a little bit is because you didn't listen to mama. I know that was my problem. But praying in the Holy Spirit is above that. And not only did the Apostle Paul admonish us to speak in prayer, but throughout the New Testament it is recorded for us there that Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that men ought to pray and not faint. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever been praying and you are under such anxiety because of the circumstance? It feels your heart is going to come out of your chest and you can hardly get your breath. He says, keep on praying. Don't faint. Keep on pushing through that. Keep on pressing through that. 1 Peter 4:7, our brother Peter says, be clear-minded. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. The New International Version. So that you can pray. Why does he want us to be clear-thinking and have ourselves in self-control? So we can pray. James chapter 5, verse 16, he says, pray for one another that you may be healed. 1 John, the beloved. In chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, this is the confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Oh my God, wouldn't you be thinking, I need to find out what His will is? When you find that out and you pray according to that, He's listening. As the old blues man said, Jesus is on the main line. Just call him up. Jude, he writes one little chapter. And for all time and eternity, this chapter will be recited and read and studied. Even when you have your immortal body and your mind is quickened beyond to the capacity it was designed for and your spirit is loose from these fleshly bounds, you still will be learning because you'll still be you and there will be a God that you'll bow to and He will give to you what Jude said 2,000 years ago. Jude records in verse 20, build yourselves up by praying in the Holy Spirit. Sounds like a little echo of Paul, doesn't it? At every opportunity, insert Jude, build yourself up praying in the Spirit. It seems praying, was of the most importance to the writers of the Bible, and rightly so. For God Himself, by the Holy Spirit, inspired them to write it. So we're talking about things concerning prayer, right? And it's inspired by God, right? It's recorded in the book that will never die. The book that will never become obsolete. The book that records absolute truth for all the ages. Time and eternal. The book that has sprung from the very heart of God. Now, really, if you don't have those concepts, the book does you no good. It's just a book. It's just a book. Prayer is more than a religious exercise. It is our doorway to God and His access into the activities of men. My God, what am I going to do about so-and-so? Pray. God will take His opportunity to work in their lives. Prayer is our entrance into the throne room of God and the release of the glory of the throne in the earth. You know, the throne where God is sitting is all absolute authority. You want that authority to be released in the earth? Prayer. Prayer. Prayer is a place, I like it. Prayer is a place to change our perspective of a temporal one to an eternal one. You want to see things differently? You want to understand something from a different angle? Prayer is your place. Prayer is where we can get the hell out and receive heaven in. And a little caveat. Thanks, Keith Hershey. He's coming. It should be good. Prayer is where all our cares and worries are melted away in the presence of Him who cares for us. The more that life presents to you its cares and worries, if you do not want those cares and worries to solidify you, freeze you, stop you, hinder you from your purpose in God, from His promise being realized, you're going to need to go to prayer. You can't neglect it. You can't get around it. You're going to have to go to prayer. Almost with the same intensity that I got to get a drink of water. Lighten up. It's only eternity. So, prayer is where we find connection, contentment, confidence, and commanding authority. There, those things are available. And I'm sure there's other things. But these are the things concerning prayer that I was given to share today. And so if these things is what the Holy Spirit wants, well then our thing is to pay close attention. So let's look at connection. Prayer is something we do in the natural or the physical. We do that here on earth. To connect with the supernatural. In John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, we have the story of the nobleman who comes to Jesus concerning his son. He comes and petitions Jesus. He comes and prays to Jesus. He comes, as some translations say, begs Jesus. Come! Or my son dies! And Jesus said, in the man's time of prayer, it's all right. Your son is well. The nobleman, apparently, had faith in what Jesus said. So he headed to his house. A few hours away, he meets some people on the way, his buds or whatever, and they say, hey, your son's fine. And he goes, tell me when it happened. And they related to him when it happened, the hour, and he knew. It lit up in him. He said, I prayed in the natural, and I connected to the supernatural. The connection we make with God in prayer affords the opportunity to transfer what we have, or affords the opportunity to transfer what God has to us. Oh, gee, I wrote it. I should know how to read it, right? The connection we make with God in prayer affords the opportunity to transfer what we have to God. And God the opportunity to transfer to us what He has. There we go. You see Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. You remember Peter and John were on their way up to the temple? And there they brought a crippled man from his mother's womb and laid him at the gate, beautiful. And there he said, alms, alms, alms. And Peter and John came along and they said, look on us. And so he looked at them expecting to get some kind of alms. And Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. I'm inserting. But what has been transferred through prayer, I give you. You can pray all day long for God to give you money, but God don't have money. You need to pray all day long for God to transfer you the wherewithal to get money, if you need money. What is that thing I saw on Facebook? I don't know who wrote it. But get a job, and in 14 days, money cometh. Okay. But what God has is transferred to you in prayer. And what you have is transferred to Him. Somehow, you're sitting there thinking, God has no need of me. No, He needs you. Who do you think He said, go into all the world and preach? It ain't Him. It ain't the angels. Jesus is done with His work. He's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. He gave us the Holy Ghost to facilitate us, but the gospel ain't getting preached unless we go. And just think of this morning, our worship. I don't care who you are, especially if you're a wife. You like it when the man comes up and goes, honey, you are just the best. I appreciate you so much. I don't know, man. You slip in the other thing. And you know, your lips are so beautiful. Dude, You just transferred your value to her. You made her more valuable than your lips. Hence, why we want to get to them, right? Oh, glory to God. Somebody say amen. Connection. This is the definition. The act of bringing two things together. So the prayer of laying on of hands makes such a connection. In Mark chapter 16, you know, there at the end, he begins to instruct what's going to happen to those that believe. And he says, they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll be able to handle things and not be harmed. You know, we don't know anything about that. But, you know, snakes and poison, we don't know nothing about that. But you know, when Pentecost first broke out, in some towns in rural areas of America, in the Midwest, which is now the Bible Belt, they would poison the wells of the church of the Pentecostal believers, those ones that spoke in those devil tongues. And they would drink and be refreshed in their meetings and praise God in other tongues and not die. See, that verse is applicable. It works. Say you go over here to Chalupe's, whatever that restaurant is. I can't say that word right anyway. Chipotle. There we go. And you get a little poison. Mark chapter 16 works. And then he says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall connever. I want to say connection and recover all at the same time. They shall recover because you are making a connection in prayer with the supernatural. In prayer, we connect with earthly... Oh, my bad. Yeah, that's what we do. In prayer, we disconnect with earthly, fleshly wisdom and understanding and connect with the heavenly, God's wisdom and understanding. James chapter 1, verse 5, what it says, anyone lack wisdom? Ask of God. John chapter 16, verse 13, he says, what is the Holy Spirit's job? It's to guide us into all truth. These things happen in prayer. Now, I love that verse. And I thank my God for that, my God and my pastor. What he brought out, and I'm going to that verse, John 16. You don't have to, I will. Because I love it, I seen it, but it didn't connect until he said it. However, because this is a life verse for me. When the Lord called me in, I don't know, 81, July something. I said, well, Lord, I you're God and everything, but I need the word on what you're saying to me. And he gave me this business here. When he said, go teach my people repentance from sin and that healing is for all every time without exception. Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you of things to come. Right there, that little phrase, he will not speak on his own authority. The word authority usually in almost all Bibles are italicized. But he will not speak on his own. Meaning, he will not initiate. We got Jerry here. Come on, Jerry. Jerry, all of a sudden, just now, his iPad is 500 pounds. Jerry, is the Holy Ghost. I'm Joe Christian. We got the verse. I come over here. Oh, God! Here's the Holy Ghost. Okay, I realize this is too big for me, right? Oh, Heavenly Father, you promised that the Holy Ghost would help me and guide me and just give me what I need. Now the Holy Ghost comes. See, he's initiated when I pray. The wisdom of God is initiated in your life when you pray. When you pray, His understanding begins to illuminate you. If you don't pray, if you don't ask for help, you get no help. Now, you got that right? Connection. Okay. You'll notice, as you always do, as I get to the end, I start going faster. I don't know why. I've tried to control that, but I can't. Now, before we go any further, let's look at three factors vital concerning prayer. Remember, we're talking about things concerning prayer. And I'm not going to elaborate big on those. I just want you to notice them. The first factor, you know, a factor is a thing that, you know, love is a factor to a good marriage. Kindness is a factor to friendship, right? You see, it's that thing that helps equal. It's a mathematical thing, actually. But these three factors are vital concerning prayer. One is the Word of God. The Word of God. You can pray all you want. You can pray willy-nilly, if you will. But if you don't have something to build on, you can't build anything. And the Word of God is your foundation. The Word of God, Psalms 30 verse 5 says, the Word of God is pure. So it's the only thing without mixture. It's the truth. You may gather up all kinds of facts from the doctor, from the lawyers, from the accountants, from your job, but the truth lies in this Word. And how to counteract the facts is to get the truth on it. And then the facts will change because, you know, they're temporal. Remember, our connection takes us past the temporal to the eternal. Psalms 18:30. It's pure. And Psalms 18:30 says it's proven. It may feel like you're just jumping off in thin air. Or as one fellow said, faith is like sawing off the branch of the tree with you on it and watching the branch fall or the tree fall. Your branch stays in thin air. Don't ask me how. But the Word is proven. I remember I was asking this guy one thing. We were going back and forth. And he was telling me something. And his church this, his pastor that. And I said, okay. If your pastor said A, but the Bible says B, which one is true? Without hesitation, my pastor. You see, he's going to get no further than what his pastor is saying. Now, I'm not downing pastors anywhere, even though that's kind of true clear across the board. As our pastor says, your pastor can be your ceiling. And thank God he endeavors to break that up. So the Word is pure and proven. The second thing, the Holy Spirit. Again, I go to John 16:13. He is the one that guides you. And then John 14:26, right here. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said. The Holy Spirit is a vital factor. You can't be without it in prayer. You can pray all day long. You know, when I was a teenager, I don't know what religion it was, but it was, I think, the person that had it set up in their house was from Japan. And it was a box that opened, and you burnt incense and put fruit on it, and you prayed, Name Rehe Lange Keho. I don't know if you ever heard of that. And then you pray this longer other prayer that goes with it. And you rub these beads. You, well, Name Rehe Keho is Bologna. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit is genuino. And if you hang out with Him, you'll get drunk on the stuff He's drunk on, okay? And it's good. Now the third factor is faith. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 says, they didn't receive because they didn't mix faith with it. I believe that the Bible is true cover from cover. But if you don't activate what's in that Bible you believe by faith, it just stays in the book. You ask the demon, do you believe in God? They will say, yeah. Yes, I do. And they look for fearful judgment. But if you have faith, what you believe becomes alive. And God is manifested in your life. The Word, the Spirit, and faith are vital factors. Don't leave home without them. Moving on. Contentment. Peace can be realized through prayer. There's a satisfaction for the soul that only comes through prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Paul says, I have learned to be content. I'm sorry. 6 and 4 doesn't say that, does it? It says, hey! Now I know what Russell Wilson feels like. Where's the rest of the team? I got it right here. I'm reading it now. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be named to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, thank you, Lord, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you're taking notes, just write down Psalms 107, verse 8 and 9. Look that up. It's saying the same thing. Now, this contentment, this prayer, can make you independent from the various circumstances that come at you in life. Now, that's Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. Now, you may not know this, but that is an old Stoic. The Stoics back then were philosophers, and they were whack jobs. But they said a man is content, or he is self-independent because of his wisdom and understanding, right? Well, Paul is not using it in that manner, because you need to connect verse 13 to that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is saying, I've learned to be content or independent. Let the storm rage. Who do we know was sleeping on a pillar in the back pillow on the back of a boat? Jesus was content. Though it raged all around him, though the house is burning down, you can be independent. You can move on. You can find a way through. Prayer gives you that. Oh my goodness, we have millions of words to talk about. Three, confidence. When we spend time in prayer and fellowship with God, we build a certain confidence that the outcome will be favorable. Acts, I just talked about Paul. Acts 27, verse 22 and 25. He's in a shipwreck. He's in a storm. Everybody's one, oh my gosh. First of all, I love what he says. Man, you should have listened to me in the beginning. The Holy Ghost told me there was problems ahead. You know, he said, gentlemen, I perceive that there's problems, verses upwards. But here, he comes onto the ship. Can you see him hanging on with his big old Holy Ghost grin? Hey, guys, it's all right. I just spoke with God. And he sent an angel to stand by me and said, it's going to be all right. Now, you're going to lose some earthly things. Oh, no. Earthly things? When you lose them, you'll lose you. But he said, it's all right. We're going to lose the ship and everything else, but your lives will be saved because I believe the God who talked to me in prayer. He had a confidence
He had a confidence. In fact, he had a boldness. Can you see standing up in the middle of a total collapse and say to your wife, say to your children, it will be all right. Your young one, my grandson, on his way to the hospital because he ate some ibuprofen because he can get his little two-year-old fingers into anything. I can't even imagine how he does it, but he does it. I said to my daughter, I felt like, I was King Kong. I said, honey, I declare right now, no harm will come of my boy in Jesus' name. Now, harm came to her because she had to wait like 4 hours to finally text me and go, it's a green light, Dad. It was right. There's a boldness, there's a confidence in prayer. Having confidence in God goes hand in hand with patience and endurance. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Don't throw away your confidence, but you need endurance so you can receive the will of God. A confident knowing comes through prayer that God is at work on your behalf concerning our requests, no matter what it looks like. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Now, 3, 4, 5 and 6. Paul's praying, and he says this, being confident. Where did he get that confidence? When he's praying for the Philippians. God reassures him. God says, chill, brother. I got you right here. Look at this. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, your kids, your wife, your job, you will be completed until the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but you don't know the squirrels. I mean, kids I have. I don't care. God knows how to make a cage for them. Corral them and get them in the right direction. Just let Him work. The more you worry, the more you fret, the more you hinder. Ah, but prayer. God's working. God's working. I don't know how many times my wife and I have sat on the couch together, in tears in our eyes, quivering in our verse, and I say to her, honey, I know one thing. God is working in our family. God is working in the people we've prayed for. He's working. And so it is. And it shall be just like He said it would be in the Word. All right. A confident knowing comes through prayer that God is at work concerning your request. Man, do you want to know what hinders prayer? Or should I skip this negative? Oh, it's so rich right here. I wish I could. Let me put it this way. I'll just give you them. And if you want to know them, get that CD or whatever. All right. You know, if you got the cool phones, put on record real quick. And when I'm talking, it'll record them. Here they are. Misplaced faith. You can't serve God and mammon. I don't care what you have going. I don't care what kind of things you've set up. You can't put your faith in them. Proverbs says it makes wings and flies away. Selfishness, James said, you can't receive because you ask amiss. You want to burn it on your pleasures. When you're praying for your marriage, don't be selfish. Okay. Doubt, James 1, 6 and 8 says that if you doubt, you get nothing. Don't even think it. Okay? Lack of knowledge. Hosea 4, 6, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Half of faith is learning what we don't know. And the literal translation Bible says it this way, my people are cut off. Because you don't know something, you are cut off. If you don't know how to use a smartphone, I don't care if it's the best one out. I give it to you and you don't know how to use it. You're cut off. You can't use it. Gee, this is great. How's it turn on? This thing's junk. Stink, stink. Yeah, hello, Mom. The other half of faith is unlearning. You hearing me? What we've already learned. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Even though we've known Christ after the flesh, we know Him no more. Therefore, any man who is in Christ is thinking in a whole new creation way. You've got to unlearn some things. No patience or endurance. We saw that in Hebrews 10. No confidence. Mark 9:24. What? He was there up in the mountain, came down, saw these people around this kid. He's all freaked out. And he says, what's going on? And the dad says, please help my son. A demon takes him and throws him down and everything like that. Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. The father said, I've said this prayer. I'll guarantee you I've said it. I believe, but help my unbelief. No confidence. No confidence. The centurion, the servant, remember him? He sent envoys to Jesus first and said, come, my servant is sick, come heal him. He said, no, oh, wait a minute. I don't need you to come, actually, just speak the word. That centurion was confident in who had the power to heal his servant. Unbelief, contempt, or unwillingness. Mark 6, you ever read Mark 6, 1 through 6? Jesus goes to his own hometown. He starts talking to him. They said, hey, isn't that Joseph and Mary's kid? I know his brother. Shoo, we used to run down at the liquor store, me and the brother. Familiarity breeds contempt. You come to church every day wondering, that's because you're too familiar. You need to go sit over on that side or something. Sit in the middle. Gird yourself up. Come sit in the front row. Unwillingness. Hebrews 3:12. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. That's unwillingness. Now, two types of change. Because you're going to have to make changes to walk in the prayer life I'm talking about. The first one is behavioral. The second one is conceptual. The first one is doing something differently, and that one can only take you so far. The one that will take you to your prize, the one that will set you on the right foundation, the right road, whereby you can receive all God's, is your conceptual change. How you see it and understand it to be. If God, I tell you what, if right now you went outside, I don't know. I said this to a guy too. If right now the sky is blue, but this says the sky is green, what color is the sky? Someone tell me. It's green. You change your conceptual, your perspective of things, you'll change your life, your behavior. Oh, go on all the diets you want. Make all the prayer commitments you want. But until you see that prayer concerns everything in your life and understand what God has vested in it, you'll never make that change. Okay, we're still going. We're trying to get done. Ready? Set? Number 4. Commanding authority. I've been wanting to get to this one the whole morning. Because I want to pray for folks. Prayer makes it possible for God's power to reach man. Whoo! Jesus, you know, his last chapters there in John, his instruction to his boys because he's going out of town, you know. He's going back to the Father and everything. And he says in John 14:12, if you believe on me, the works that I do, you will do also. And then he says this, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. He's not talking about making a petition for this or a supplication for that. He's talking about taking a place in prayer that is of commanding authority. At the gate beautiful, we already saw it. Peter says, hey, I ain't got what you're begging for, but what I do got, I give you. We see in Acts chapter 16, Paul gets all upset over this little woman. Oh, these are the men. These are the men of God. He just, boom, quiet, come out of her. And she was delivered. A place in prayer puts you in a commanding authority. You've got to have it. Prayer brings the human and the divine factors. Prayer brings the human and the divine factors into the fullest possible power sharing effectiveness. Did you hear that? Earth and all of it is yours. When you pray, you come with your power. Did I say you had power? Yes, I'm a human. I can operate here. And when I speak, it can come to pass. I come to God. Me and God get together. And He and I become effective together. He does nothing without your prayers. I'm just taking my time. I don't care. Prayer brings the human and the divine factors. What are the factors? What are the A and B equals C? You and God touching lives. The two factors are you and God. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 30, 31. Remember they got out of jail, Peter? They went to their people, their company, and they began to pray, God, hear what they're saying. Now grant unto us to do signs and miracles by your holy child's Jesus' name. You read it there? Oh, but it doesn't say much after that, does it? But go over to chapter 5 and verse 12 and 16. We see that the Lord did great miracles by the hands of the apostles, and that even people brought the sick in the street. So just the shadow of Jesus. There's a commanding authority when you connect with God. Prayer is the means whereby we take commanding authority over demons. Remember the story of the child that threw himself in the fire? Jesus just come off the mountain. If you can believe, all things are possible. His disciples come and say, why couldn't we do it? He said, this kind only goes out by prayer. You can hear him now in the counseling room. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Did they have those three factors? Faith? Holy Ghost? The Word of God? Maybe not. You got to pray. The last one, but not least, very important in commanding authority. This will make a big difference. Prayer is the place we can take control over our own selves. You realize some things in your life, your personal life, you have to take a commanding position with it. And rise up, whether you see a change or not right away, and say, I rebuke that in me. Man, I had a thought at work that came to me, and I mean, it just, all of a sudden, oh my God, I started weeping over it. It was not the right thought. And I said, why? And then rose up in me, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I will not have those thoughts. I said it out loud at work like that. Prayer will put you in a place to command yourself. John chapter 15, 1 through 7. I am the vine, you are the branches. Every vine in me that doesn't produce, my Father lifts it up. And every branch that is producing, He prunes so it produces more. You can do nothing unless you remain me. And if you're not in me, I'll gather you up and throw you in the fire. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will. That's the place of change. Lord, I just ask you to help me. And from this time forward, every time I have that thought, every time I get that feeling, every time I want to cross that line, I'm going to say, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. All right. It is in prayer we make a connection with the supernatural and heavenly wisdom and understanding, ultimately giving us contentment. A place of peace, satisfaction of the soul, making us independent from life's cares and worries. It's kind of like the thing on TV. If you drink this, the pounds will drop. Well, you drink this, your life will change. There's a confidence that springs up in prayer and fellowship with God. Assurance the situation will turn out in your favor, knowing God is at work. And finally, prayer releases God's power whereby we take our place in Christ, exercising commanding authority over demons, disease, circumstances, and even our own weaknesses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Doc Horton said at Bible school, hallelujah, with his voice is gone. Hallelujah. He was a Cajun from Louisiana. Hallelujah. I love that guy. Passed on, waiting for me. One of his students. All right. Tell you what I want to do. I want to pray for folk. I want to exercise what we've been talking about. I want to do things concerning prayer this morning. All right? Can we do it? Okay, let's stand up. So happy. Almost feel bad. We should put these little cute little sips at every place for everybody. And when you get your church bill, like the hotel bill, you'll see, because you took one of the bottled waters off the table, you'll see $5. What? For a bottle of water? Oh yeah, baby. They're going to get you. Let's just get in an attitude of prayer for a minute. And just thank God that He has established a connection for us. He has given us a place whereby we can connect with Him. And He can come flooding into our lives and begin the process to make it right, whatever it is. Glory to God. Glory. How about we do that, I am weak and He is strong? Well, yeah, He makes the weak strong, but, you know. Yeah, cornerstone. Hallelujah. And while we're getting ready, we're playing that. Anybody this morning that doesn't know, first of all, Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you right now, there is only the one prayer God will hear. And that is, Jesus, come into my life. He will do everything He can do, work in every avenue He can work, because other people are praying for you. And I can guarantee you that's why you're here if you don't know Jesus, because somebody has been praying for you. Somebody has been calling out to God. And here you are. So if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to just come on right up front here and let's get it done. I thank God for that opportunity. You don't want to pass it by. I remember telling Julie, that's my wife, on a Saturday night at her parents' house. I said, I wonder what it's going to be like to be saved. And she looked at me weird, because you know, she was saved. Yeah, you couldn't tell, right? But she was saved. But I knew, I told her, well, I know the preacher's going to do a Save Your Soul sermon. Well, I just did a Save Your Soul sermon. Things concerning prayer. If you want to receive Jesus, come on. I want to give you the leeway. If you feel embarrassed, okay. After the service, that door over there behind you, my left, your right, will be open, and there will be people there that can help you receive Jesus. And if you've never, of course, been filled with the Holy Spirit, we talked about that was one of the factors, right? To prayer. And that Holy Spirit is part of praying in tongues, because He's the one who gives you the utterance and you pray it. If you want to receive that, we're ready for that. And then, of course, I want to put this in the opportunity to lay hands on you and pray. If you felt that you've missed the mark somewhere, you felt that you've slipped to the side a little bit, then when I call for prayer for any reason, because I'm going to lay hands on people, and when I come to you, you just say to me, I'm one that missed the mark. Pray for me. And I will. So if you want prayer in any of those areas, I want you to come right now. Because there is a foundation laid, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Come on. Don't be like me. Sit back there and go, well, I'm Pastor Lonnie. If I go up there, people will know I'm weak. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. Nothing to be sad about. So I'm going to pray for these. And then I guess I'll have all you pray for me because apparently you're set.